Welcome to America's Cannabis Conversation. Heard every Saturday at 4:20 p.m. online at americascannabisconversation.com. Each week, we provide our listeners information, education, and insight into the exploding medical and adult use cannabis industry. You'll hear from industry experts, elected officials, local growers, detractors, and more. Learn how to build your own cannabis business, how to grow the product, what's legal, and where it's legal. Tune in each week to hear the latest industry news and updates from the American Cannabis Industry Association in Washington, tips on investing in cannabis, personal success stories, and more. It's time to join the conversation. And here's your host, Dan Perkins.
This is Dan Perkins with your 2 minute and 30 seconds quick cannabis news. The nation's capital. A Juul Lab executive who was fired earlier this year is alleging that the vaping company knowingly shipped 1 million tainted nicotine pods to customers. The allegations come from a lawsuit filed Tuesday by lawyers representing Shabarth Barea, a one-time finance executive at the e-cigarette maker. The suit claims that Barea was terminated after opposing the company's practices, including shipping contaminated flavored pods and not listing the expiration dates on Juul product. Denver, Colorado. Random tests for mold and yeast at more than two dozen Denver area cannabis dispensaries resulted in 20 stores being ordered to hold or quarantine their cannabis flower, steak, or pre-rolled joints. The Denver Department of Public Health and Environment conducted 25 tests over a two-day period in September. Now, New York, New York. Acreage Holdings, a multi-state marijuana operator, signed a sale-leaseback deal valued at more than $72 million for cannabis facilities in several states with Green Acreage Real Estate, a real estate investment trust that focuses on marijuana space. The New York-based Acreage Holdings said on Friday it had already closed deals with Green Acreage for facilities in Florida, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania. These three facilities alone have in excess of 182,000 square feet of space. Washington, D.C., the U.S. Tax Court again ruled that Section 280E of the Internal Revenue Service Tax Code is constitutional and cannabis companies are not entitled to common business deduction. The ruling centered on a plea from Northern California Small Business Assistance, which received a tax bill and penalty from the IRS for $1.5 million for their 2012 tax return. And finally, our last story, Mexico prepares to become the most populous nation in the world to legalize adult-use marijuana. Mexico's Senate is already to receive a bill that fully legalizes cannabis, including recreational. Once approved, as expected, the new law would make Mexico the most populous nation with a federally regulated adult-use cannabis market. And that's your Cannabis Quick News. I'm Dan Perkins. Coming up on today's show is an alternative delivery method for CBD by Richie James. Morgan Fox of the Cannabis Industry Association of America will speak about some changes in laws in various states. Mr. Natural will talk about how he developed his strain of cannabis to help post-traumatic stress disorder. And finally, Dr. Jordan Tischler will speak to us about why cannabis works so well in treating so many different illnesses. This is Dan Perkins. Enjoy the conversation. Welcome to the conversation. And today we're having a gentleman who we've had on before, Richie James, who is the CEO of Hemp Life. And this time we've invited him back to talk about some of his products and some of the unique things that he's doing. But in our pre-interview, we talked about what's going on with vaping and how it's being adversely impacted. And he has a product that delivers a product through a puffer. So, Richie, welcome to the show. And let's talk about...
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Well, let's talk about what's happening with this vaping problem.
Yeah. So first and foremost, Hemp Life is the name of our company, L-Y-F-E. And we are a wellness-based CBD company is what we like to present ourselves as. So we want to help people live a more vibrant, healthy life. Speaking on the subject of vaping, it is a very popular delivery mechanism for CBD and cannabis and all those things. But anybody that has not been living under a rock lately knows the consequences and complications that are now starting to arise out of people vaping. We're hearing all kinds of things taking place. I mean, I can't get on social media today and not see some new story on some kid that's in the hospital now for something major. So in addition to that, is because of these things, laws are starting to change with vaping. Some states are not allowing it, are going to not allow it. I think I've heard California is probably the next one coming up. I'm not sure. I can't 100% speak on that, but we do know these things are in place and are being talked about in our government and in our rules and regulations and laws. So that being said, here at Hemp Life, we have a phenomenal product that we believe that is a great, safe alternative to vaping. And the reason why people vape is because of its bioavailability, its effectiveness. It's metabolized very quickly. Our inhaler is called a CBD, a distillate full-spectrum inhaler is what it is. And it's the same mechanism as you would think of as an asthma inhaler. Same type of canister, same type of applicator, everything used in the same manner. It is a phenomenal product because it is bioavailability, one of the highest in the marketplace. So it metabolizes very quickly, and you feel the effects of it right away. And that's our inhaler.
So let me stop there for just a second and raise an issue. I've been doing, obviously, a lot of interviews for the show. And inevitably in the conversation, people like yourself all have the same kind of mantra that what we're trying to do is to improve the quality of life for American consumers. And whether you're selling cannabis or CBD, that seems to be a common thread. It's amazing to me here in Florida where I live, where we have medical only. I talked to the CFO of a dispensary organization, and it's been around about 3 years. And he said, our business model was we're going to see our customer being between 21 and 35. And in reality, he said, 3 years later, our average customer age is 56. And I said, what is it about this that you missed it so much? And he kind of chuckled and he said, we didn't think that the older market would be that concerned about day-to-day health issues. What they found out is that the quality of life on a day-to-day basis is very important to the older Americans. And these products give an enhanced quality of life by and large with none of the side effects of prescription drugs. So you're in a unique position of being able to meet the needs of an older population with a range of products. So what kind of products might you have for older Americans that would be attractive for them?
Great. The reason why that's happening, Dan, is because of education. Obviously, the older populations, the perception of this has come from the 60s and 70s and that relationship that this has always had. Now that we're able to get out in public and now with the Farm Bill Act being passed in February, we're able to speak about it more. There's more studies on it. There's more research on it. There's more information out there on it. So that's why I think now they're able to decipher and make a very good decision going, oh, wait a minute. Hey, this is not like that. This is actually different. This is actually here to really help me. And as you mentioned, we are, as a society, living longer. Well, if we're going to live longer, we might as well do it gracefully. And if this product can help me feel better and live a more vibrant life, which is, again, what is our slogan, live a vibrant life, then do it. And CBD is that. So here at Hemp Life, we offer a few different types of delivery systems and products for a person to use. The first way, as we mentioned, is the inhaler. That's one. The other is we have a water-soluble full-spectrum powder. What's really cool about this particular line of products that we have here is that we offer it in a few different forms or a few different needs. Number one, we have a electrolyte hydrating deck to one of ours, meaning if you are out exercising, walking, and you mentioned you're down there in Florida, the humidity, you're going to sweat a lot. Well, when you so what we tried to do with this particular product is kill two birds with one stone. Well, what else happens when you exercise? Whether you walk, whether you, whatever is your type of activity, you play tennis, golf, whatever you do, you create inflammation in the body. So now we have a product called Power. It's in our Power line. It's a powder that it's flavored. We have it in cherry pomegranate. We have it in orange, and we have it in raspberry flavor. Tastes amazing. So after you get done exercising, you pour this about 8 ounces of water, 10 ounces of water in your bottled water, shake it up, down it, and drink it. Now you're hydrating your body, and now you're also helping out with all the soreness that you possibly created when you were exercising. That's a product. We have it also in a product called Dream. It's infused with melatonin to help people have a more restful night's peace about themselves, waking up the next day feeling more refreshed. Part of your day, part of being vibrant, is how you sleep at night. It's a major, major issue in America today. And so if we can help you have a restful, dreamy night, and you can wake up the next morning and let your feet hit that floor, and you're out the door and you feel amazing, great things are going to happen. So we have a product called Dream in the powder. We also have it in just a basic wellness formulation, a daily called Bliss, our Bliss line, which is just straight CBD. You can put this in your coffee if you're a coffee drinker. You don't even know what's in there. You can put it in your tea if you drink a nighttime tea. You can put it in that, or your juice, or your smoothie. I put it in my smoothie every morning. So we have that. We have a gel cap, your traditional gel caps. We have that in a Bliss formula, which our Bliss formula is our daily use. We have it in a Dream line as well, which is our nighttime use. We have our oils, so which are very, very typical, your tinctures, oils, whatever you like to call them. We have that. We have your gummies, which are very good snacks just to be able to snack on and kind of give yourself additional milligram dosages throughout the day of CBD. We also have another very unique product as well, too, that kind of falls in line with our proprietary product is our dried fruit. Very, very unique. I've not found anybody else out there on the market that has this. We have a dried pineapple and a dried mango. We are also going to be coming out with dried apples and dried banana chips. So we have different fruits like that. So those are our product lines. Our Bliss line is your daily line. Our Dream line is your nighttime line. Our Power line is your exercise line. And so in our Restore, which is in our inhaler, is our recovery line because it has ginger infused with it. So those are our different mechanisms that we utilize and give people, you know, choices. Because the thing that you want to do when you use CBD is what we have found the best results is when someone can get up to, you know, 50, 60, you know, milligrams a day of using CBD is we found that that's kind of the best results they start getting. That's kind of the sweet spot. If they really want to get maximum effectiveness from our products, we found that around 100 milligrams a day of CBD is what we found to be very, very efficient for them and get maximal results back. So if we give you different forms to use throughout your day, then you're able to meet that amount a little bit easier.
We're talking with Richie Janes, the CEO of Hemp Life. Interesting conversation. We've got about 2 minutes left. I'd like you to put on your visionary hat and tell me where you think the CBD business is going in the future.
The sky's the limit. Every day, this is such an evolving industry and such an evolving space right now. We're in a brand new frontier. As everyone knows that's hearing our voice here today, you can't turn your radio on and not hear about it, obviously. You can't turn your TV on and not hear someone talking about it. Drive down the road, open a magazine. You know, there you have your shops opening up on every corner. This is a new frontier that is life-changing. It truly is life-changing. We have new spokespeople coming out every day. Heck, you know, just Rob Gronkowski, just the other day, one of the top former NFL football players, Hall of Fame member possibly in the future, coming out promoting it, trying to move this into the NFL. So because we understand the pain and things those guys go through and how it can benefit them. So for me to sit there and tell you that where this is going, I wouldn't do it justice because it's going to go so much further. Right now, last year alone, to give someone a perception of where we are as an industry from a financial standpoint, 2017, I think it was 2018, CBD space was about $500-600 million industry. A car dealership does that in a year. By 2022, they're expecting this to be over $20 to $25 billion industry. I think we're going to eclipse that twofold.
Wow. So we've only got a few seconds left. Your product is only available on your website. Are any plans in the future to be creating a wholesale product that you can sell to other dispensaries?
We do have the ability to wholesale. We are in search of individuals that are wanting to wholesale our products into their dispensaries, into their CBD shops, retail stores, or whatever it may be. We do have a distribution channel for that, and more than happy to speak to anybody in that manner that wants to contact us on that. So right now, obviously, the first choice is through our website. E-commerce is our number one choice of distribution. So we have that, and if someone is interested, they can go to HempLife, that's HempLyfe.net, HempLife.net. All our information is on there. We have a blog that is very well written that goes into great education. If you want to know more about things, the different uses of CBD, the differences in different types, the difference between CBD and THC, we have all kinds of stuff on there. So you can learn about our products, our lab reports, our descriptions. Whatever you need to know is right there. You can find it. Also, we have info at hemplife.net. If you want to email, have a question, we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Answer that question as well, too. So hemplife, L-Y-F-E.net. And then for your radio listeners, we also are offering a special today. Radio 20, that's Radio 20. They're going to get a 20% discount and free shipping if they put that in their coupon code at checkout.
Well, we've been speaking to Richie James, CEO of HempLife, with a fascinating part in the conversation today. Thank you for joining us today, Richie. We enjoyed it, and hopefully our audience learned a lot more about CBD and your products. Thanks for joining us today.
This is Dan Perkins, host of America's Cannabis Conversation, with breaking news. The CDC announced late yesterday that they have solved the problem of the vaping illness. Dr. Annie Seashat, CDC Principal Deputy Director, said in a call with reporters that the vitamin E acetate, an oil, is a synthetic form of vitamin E. For the first time, we have detected the potential toxin of concern, vitamin E acetate. There is now solid evidence that vitamin E oil, bootleg THC vape products, is behind at least some of the 2,000-plus severe vaping-related lung injuries nationwide. A finding by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention called this a breakthrough into this investigation. She went on to say that investigators tested samples of the fluid taken from the lungs of 29 patients with vaping illnesses in 10 different states and found vitamin E acetate in all 29. No other oils, such as mineral oil or plant oils, were found at high levels. He went on to say that these findings provide direct evidence of vitamin E acetate as the primary site for injuries within the lung. In addition, oil had previously been detected in product samples in September. She said investigators say they cannot rule out other possible toxins or ingredients that may be causing the illness. She said that the CDC will continue to monitor other possible contaminations. This has been a breaking news update from America's Cannabis Conversation, and I'm Dan Perkins, your host. Thanks for listening.
This is Dan Perkins with America's Cannabis Conversation, and today we're joined by Dr. Jordan Tischler, who is a doctor who's practicing in Massachusetts. And we'll give you his website in a moment, but we're going to talk about something else that he's doing, and he's president of the American Cannabis Specialist Association. So, Doctor, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Can you please tell me and the audience about this association that you're president of, and what does it do?
Sure. The Association of Cannabis Specialists is a group that I started some years ago because what I found was that there were not enough physicians out there practicing cannabis medicine, and even more so, there were fairly few physicians practicing cannabis medicine to the high standard that I would expect, you know, which really isn't a standard other than what we'd expect in medicine in general, you know, sitting down with a patient, talking to the patient, understanding what's important to the patient, what the problems are, and then being able to describe in great detail the pros and cons of cannabis medicine and how to use it and what not to do and those sorts of things. You know, essentially informed consent. And so I started this organization to recruit physicians, to educate physicians, and to make sure that we're all doing this from the same evidence-based playbook, if you will.
What is the web address for the association?
That would be cannabis-specialist.org.
I've been to that website a couple of times, knowing I was going to do an interview with you. And it looks like you provide information to just more than just doctors. You have a raft of people, other professionals
you
provide information to.
Exactly. And when I started this, because I'm a physician, of course, I'm thinking about physicians, but the number of professionals that are involved in caring for patients these days has certainly expanded. And so we have nurses, we have dietitians, we have physical therapists, we have pharmacists, and they're all included. So I have a tendency to think the word physician, but really what we're talking about is health professionals.
So there seems to be more doctors involved in the prescribing of cannabis for multiple different things. And I noticed in your practice, you deal with treating, because of your experience with the VA, treating patients and veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. That's a relatively new experience in terms of an alternative treatment. What got you interested in dealing with PTSD?
Well, the reality for me is I go where the fire is, if you will. For me, the issue was how can I help people in the broadest sense? And I had practiced for the VA for so many years that this was an area that was of great interest to me. It's also an area where, quite frankly, cannabis can be very helpful, but it also can be fairly harmful. And if you look at some of the studies of what happens to veterans if they are given access to cannabis without any guidance or with the guidance of their buddies, unfortunately, what we find is that people accelerate from no cannabis use to severe cannabis use very, very quickly. And one study, in fact, showed going from 0 to 12 grams a day, which is an amazing amount in a 3 to 6 month period. And it isn't necessary to do that in terms of getting the benefits. And when you go beyond what is necessary for the benefits, now you're getting into all the side effects and complications and that sort of thing. So it becomes a very important area, but it's also a very tricky area, and we need to make sure that we're doing the best we can for our veterans.
So I'm not intentionally trying to put you on the spot, but I guess I am. The question I want to ask, we have changed. We have 33 states in this country that now have medical marijuana. In reality, there is no medical marijuana. It's the same marijuana, whether it's medical or recreational. But there has to be a doctor involved in order for a prescription to be written, to be taken to a dispensary and fulfilled. And in the recreational, as you said earlier, recreational, they just walk into the dispensary and buy whatever they want to buy. But my concern is when you think about a person who has a medical problem, to self-medicate, whether it's cannabis or anything else, can be a disastrous outcome. So that the finding a physician, and perhaps that's why your service is so important, is for you begin to identify doctors and medical professionals who can help people at risk and people who have problems. So I think it's a wonderful service, and we'll ask you that for that website in a moment. But I want to ask you one other question before we get there. What kind of, I obviously don't want to know patient names, but I want to know what kind of ailments, if that's the right word, or symptoms or whatever, diseases, what are you treating? What's the range of what you're treating in your practice with cannabis?
It's very wide, and I think that's one of the reasons that some physicians who haven't had the chance to sort of learn about why this works find themselves skeptical of it. So, you know, cannabis can treat pain, it can treat nausea and vomiting, it can treat insomnia, it can treat anxiety and depression, it can treat certain types of inflammatory diseases like Crohn's disease and rheumatoid arthritis. So when you look at that as a physician, you go, now how can that be? Are we talking magic here? But the reality here is that part of the issue for many physicians is that the system upon which cannabis works, which is called the endocannabinoid system, meaning our internal cannabinoid system, is relatively newly discovered, maybe about 20 years ago. So for anybody who's as old as I am, and or older, this wasn't even discovered when we were in medical school, right? And it turns out the system's job is really to maintain the proper interaction of all the other systems that actually do something in our body. And so when you think of it as a system that spans multiple systems, now you start to understand how interacting with that with one medicine, meaning cannabis, you can actually influence multiple different types of disease states. And I think when doctors get that, that's when they start to understand that this is legitimate, which brings us right back to the Association of Cannabis Specialists, because that's the kind of education that we're providing for doctors and others.
We're talking to a fascinating guest here, Dr. Jordan Tischler, and the Cannabis Physicians Group. So, again, would you give us the website for that group, please?
Sure, absolutely. It's cannabis-specialist.org. So that's cannabis-specialist.org.
Thank you so much. So let's move on a little bit. We talked about all the patients. You know, I the first question I wanted to ask you, again, thank you so much for helping me understand things that I had no idea were there. This new system in the body, do we know who discovered it, or was it a series of people?
Well, it's a series of things, but it started back in the 1960s with Raphael Mashulam, who's an Israeli scientist who synthesized THC, which is one of the medications for from cannabis, and it subsequently synthesized CBD. And it was through the use of these synthesized molecules that we were able to find out that there were receptors in the brain, but other parts of our body too, like our gut and our immune system, that bound to these things. And then as you start to kind of find these receptors, then you go and you say, well, the receptor's not there for weed. What's it there for? And then you go and you find the things that our bodies make that bind to the receptor. And so there's a process that goes on through that, like that. And that really, that work, though, you know, originally started in the 1960s, really kind of came to some fruition in the 1990s, and really it was only in the early mid-1990s that people started to recognize that this was a system that was a functioning and important part of the body, upon which we can then intervene using these chemicals derived from the cannabis plant.
Doctor, we only have a couple minutes left, and I really have to ask one more question that I think is on a lot of people's mind. You've explained the new system, but people, when they hear about all the uses of cannabis and its extracts and lotions and oils and everything else, how is it possible that this all-natural product hasn't been discovered before? And is it really a silver bullet, or is it hype, or is it truly a wonderful thing that can help millions and millions of people?
It's all of those things. I mean, that is to say, first of all, let's remember that cannabis was used medicinally throughout the 1800s and was only lost to us in the 20th century because of political decisions that were made that were based on economics and racism. So, yes, it's been the research on this has been hampered, especially in the United States, since 1932 and onward. So we're finally getting around some of that stuff. Is it a magic bullet? No, it's not a magic bullet. It has to be treated like any other medicine. There has to be specific dose and specific timing, and it has to be applied to the correct kind of illness. However, it is a wide range of illness, and so I think that people can decide perhaps that it is a magic bullet. And the other thing is that not every product out there actually works, and this is a real problem we're facing right now. Usually medications are vetted by the FDA before they get out into the public, and cannabis is certainly not gotten there in that way. And so many companies are out there making products that they've done no testing on. And quite frankly, we can tell from clinical experience that they don't work. And I can list those things. But basically, if you want to talk about CBD, CBD is largely the emperor's new clothing. It has some very specific uses that we've shown scientifically. But, you know, all this, like, just go down to Whole Foods or your local gas station and buy a CBD vape, that's not going to do much for you. And we know that from science as well as clinical experience. And there are a bunch of other things too. I mean, I think the topicals are pretty close to useless. There's just a lot of desire to make money in this field right now that has led to products not being vetted properly. And if there are cannabis companies out there that are hearing me say this, and they want my help in making sure that they've got a product that's genuine and effective, I'm all over it. And similarly, if there are patients out there or potential patients out there who want to talk to me about that sort of thing, again, I'm right there and available.
Well, Doctor, we're out of time. We've been speaking to Dr. Jordan Tischler, a fascinating guest who knows an awful lot about stuff that I don't know about, and I learned from having you on the show. Doctor, how can people reach you if they want to talk to you about your services?
They should absolutely reach out to me. I'm very available and friendly, or at least I try to be. And the best way to reach me is to go to my website, which is inhalemd.com, inhalemd.com. And through that, you can hit me by email, and there are a bunch of videos and blog articles that can help you kind of feel better and get up to speed.
Well, Dr. Jordan, thank you so much for being with us today on America's Cannabis Conversation. And if you didn't hear all of the doctor's discussion, you can go to our website, americascannabisconversation.com, and you can listen to this show and past shows to keep yourself educated on the opportunities of cannabis. Thank you, Doctor, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
America's newest and fastest-growing cannabis-focused radio network, W420 Radio Network, is expanding across the country and looking to add to our sales and marketing teams. America's Cannabis Conversation, which airs each Saturday at 4:20, offers listeners insight and information on the exploding cannabis industry. It also gives advertisers the opportunity to reach hyper-targeted audiences, literally neighborhood by neighborhood. We are looking for motivated individuals who want to start their own businesses in markets like Boston, Las Vegas, Reno, Orlando, and more. To get more information on this opportunity or to apply, visit americascannabisconversation.com.
Welcome to the conversation. This is Dan Perkins, and today joining us is Bob Luciano, Mr. Natural. Welcome to the conversation, sir.
Good morning, Dan. Nice to be on your show.
Thank you for joining us again. First thing I want to talk about is, where did Mr. Natural come from?
The name originally came from in Jamaica. I was down there. Me and my wife had started a restaurant down there, and I was getting involved with the Rastafarian community. So we started a restaurant. I used to read the comic book, underground comic book, Mr. Natural, when I was young. When we started the restaurant, I'm involved with natural food, organic cultivation, organic clothing. So during the process, we picked up the name Natural. So they said we had a restaurant. We were in Jamaica, and we were all involved with natural food, and I was involved with the natural lifestyle. The people started calling us Natural. So my wife said, yo, let's call the restaurant Mr. Natural. So that's how the name Natural came to be.
Good. So when we talked the last time, sir, you indicated you came back from Vietnam. You went to New York. You were down in Washington, D.C. at the Honor Guard, which is a tremendous honor for you, but it was also very depressing. What happened after Arlington? What did you do?
Well, I was still, you know what, I couldn't take the Honor Guard anymore because it was it put me more into post-traumatic stress than anything else. So I wind up going into the 330 transportation company. Did different details. I was in Fort Lee, Virginia at the time. So I started at that point because we were doing riot control. You know, so we were being trained for riots that were happening all over, I imagine, all over the country. So we were being sent to D.C. involved with a riot. And when we were there, you know, we dismounted, and it affected me dramatically when some of the people that were protesting the war were Vietnam veterans in wheelchairs against the war. And I got trained for war, and I came back. It affected me dramatically. Between the honor guard and the burials and taking up arms against my brothers who were against the war that they fought for. So that affected me a lot. So I went to the mental hygiene clinic at that time period. And that's when my realization was all that they really wanted to give you was drugs. This is in the military. And like, they really didn't want to hear nothing. They didn't want to help you with therapy. They wanted to give you drugs and just go on your way. So I started to utilize cannabis even then when I was still in the military. And it was easy to obtain because the Vietnam conflict was still going on. Wasn't determined the war yet. Got determined the war 40 years after we came back. You know, so there was a lot of effects that the government and not the veterans, but a lot of even these different organizations. I tried to join the VFW when I got out. They would not accept me in New Jersey because it wasn't a war. It was a conflict. So there was nobody to talk about it. The VA didn't want to hear about it. If you went to a psychiatrist, they'd give you more drugs. They'd increase your drugs. They'd give you drugs that you didn't even know the effects that they had, because you're always walking in like kind of a shuffle, as they would put it later on in life, the Thorazine shuffle. So well, I started utilizing cannabis even then.
We're speaking with Mr. Natural, who is a entrepreneur who has an amazing life career. And if you didn't hear all of this interview, you can go to americascannabisconversation.com and you can listen to the rest of this interview and listen to previous interviews that we had with Mr. Natural and other programs. So go to americascannabisconversation.com. So how much after you went for mental health did you leave the service?
I was sought mental health in probably 8 months before I left the service.
Okay. All right. You went from Washington, D.C., you left the service, and where did you go? Did you go to Jamaica next?
Back to New Jersey, and I went and worked for, there was no job, so I became I worked for the Postal Service. They were the only ones hiring. And that's why I feel that cannabis industry involved with the Veterans Administration and the government, Project Transition. So we can talk about that on a later time period.
Sure. Love to. So then, how long were you in Jersey?
Probably from until 1980.
Went to Virginia. And how long were you there?
Until 1986.
So you were there 6 years.
Yeah, but during the process time period, I used to go back and forth to Jamaica a lot. I was learning more about the Rastafarian culture and cannabis and the culture, more involved with the culture with cannabis, because we, during the 70s, we weren't welcome, and we weren't definitely welcomed in Virginia.
Yeah.
So this is what I learned about cannabis. Remember I spoke on the first conversation about, it was during the equal rights process I went to Vietnam. So it was I was enabled to move to Virginia from New York easily because of my experiences with cannabis in Vietnam and people from the South in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot easier for me.
In our conversation today, we're speaking to Mr. Natural, who's going to tell us a little bit later about what he developed. But so you're in Virginia, you're going back and forth to Jamaica Did you go to Jamaica permanently for any length of time?
Yes, I went there in 1987, and at that time period, I had got involved with a motorcycle bike rental business, and then we opened up the restaurant in 1989, me and my wife. So we had work, what they call work permits, so we had residency permits in Jamaica at that time period.
And what happened to you as your interest in cannabis evolved in Jamaica? What were you learning?
I was learning about the soil and compost and back guano, which is a key element involved with soil to bring out a lot of the benefits and the medicinal benefits. You know, like, we've come up with hydro after that, but there's no medicinal benefits from hydro. So I learned a lot about soil management. And what I learned in Jamaica, that, you know, like, when you cultivate, a lot of what you're doing comes from you. So it's a mind, body, and spiritual experience. And that's what I got out of Jamaica. That what you put into the herb is what you get back out of the herb. And based on the third world, I learned a lot of medicinal benefits there, because in Jamaica, as in Southeast Asia, they didn't have a lot of pharmaceuticals unless you were in the U.S. in the military, but the people themselves never had it. So they use cannabis in a lot of different medicinal benefits with other types of herbs. And that's where we've learned a lot about the infusion of herbs and cannabis, even there, and how we learned how to make different types of oils.
Mr. Natural, tell me, what were you personally experiencing as you were using the product that you were growing?
When I was in Jamaica, that's where, again, I learned about a lot of different strains and the medicinal benefits, because there was no other type medications. So what we learned is that I started to learn to pull out a certain strain from a certain plant and separate the plants. So I learned that this one strain was really good. And when I came back to California, we started to crossbreeding the strains.
We're speaking with Mr. Natural, and he's talking to us about his adventure and his growth and personal development as it evolved the creation of the Mr. Natural product line. Let's drill down just a few minutes, if we could, in the time we have left. Talk about your products and what kind of issues you can help veterans deal with.
Veterans, when they go in, if you have a disability, let the Veterans Administration know, or your doctors, that you're utilizing cannabis. And that, you need to get it on your files. My feelings are, so they know. Because the more veterans that have on their files that they're utilizing cannabis versus the other pharmaceutical drugs, the more benefits we can get it for more veterans. You know, like, so we developed strains that were specifically for my disability, but my disability is like anybody else's disability. There's 100,000 other people that have the similar disabilities. So we created strains and made them available not only to me, but we gave them on the demos to other veterans and see how they affected them. Some veterans gave up their pharmaceuticals. Other veterans had problems with the VA because at that time period, if you had pain medication, they would suspend your medication if you were using cannabis. Where I haven't, you know, like, I have a prescription on file with the Veterans Administration. So, like, if it's available for me, it should be made available for every veteran that's usually using it medicinally. The pharmaceuticals hurt you versus cannabis.
So, Mr. Natural, let's just roll that back a little bit. You have what from the VA? You have a prescription? What do you have that allows you to have it?
You know what? My recommendation, because I was in another state, turned into a prescription because I don't use any other kind of medications. Since 2007, they've taken blood tests on me probably every 6 months. The only medication that I have in my body is an antacid and cannabis. And I'm 240%, say, disabled. I have a stomach, back. PTSD is my primary disability, but my back and stomach and other on file with the Veterans Administration. But you can only be 100%.
It affects tens of millions of veterans. How did it help you? How did your cannabis strain help you with your PTSD?
Well, it enabled me to focus on other things besides negativity. It let me see what the government taught me to do and enabled me to be able to think and concentrate on other key factors is positivity. And it enabled me to use therapy and enabled me to group with other veterans and talk about our same situations that we all can talk about because we've all lived them. Man, my story being 100% is no different than anybody else's story, bro. All of us suffer the same disabilities in the same formats, no matter what it is. My pain is no worse than yours if you have pain, just like my post-traumatic stress is no worse than anyone else's, man. It's just not. So if cannabis helps us and it helps us heal and we could help other people during the process, why? If we fought for rights in all the other states, we were drafted during the draft era, and we fought for rights in all the other states. If I'm using medical cannabis, why can't I utilize it in all the other states?
Right. Fascinating story, Mr. Natural. Thank you for your time. We've been speaking with Bob Luciano, Mr. Natural, and talking about the cannabis strains that he's developed that he's used to treat himself and hundreds, if not thousands, of other veterans. Mr. Natural, how do people learn about you and your Mr. Natural products?
You could get in touch with Colas or Justin because he helped create this story. But majorly, we got acquired by Astralis Capital. So get in touch with Astralis Capital, and they can give you more information.
We'll put a link to them on the website. Mr. Natural, thank you so much for sharing your story and telling us what you have been able to accomplish. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm proud to know you. And thank you for your service, not only to our country, but to your fellow veterans.
Thank you for making other veterans the ability to hear the story and maybe move forward that we could all get help, girl. Thank you for coming out with this.
You're welcome. So we've been speaking with Mr. Natural. He is an entrepreneur that developed cannabis strains to treat his PTSD and other elements. If you didn't hear all the interview with Mr. Natural, you should. You can pick it up by going to americascannabisconversation.com and look at the archive section. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for joining the conversation.
Thank you. Have a good day.
This is Dan Perkins, your host and co-creator of America's Cannabis Conversation. I want to take a moment to tell you why we started this groundbreaking network and show. Hundreds of thousands of people who work in the cannabis industry trying to help people are not permitted to tell their story on the public airways of radio and TV. In spite of these restrictions, the American cannabis industry is growing at about 35% per year and accelerating. As you listen to this show from time to time, you will hear real people telling their story of how cannabis helped them or business people who grew their business. When I started talking to people in the exploding cannabis business and telling them what we were trying to do, I heard this common question. When can you help me? Well, we are going to give you a voice. We promise to do our best to bring you a high-value, entertaining program. We want from you what you want from your customers. Come back for more. And now, let's meet our guest. This is Dan Perkins, your host of America's Cannabis Conversation, a new program, and we're dealing with right now the legislative piece. We have a regular contributor, Morgan Fox, who is with the National Cannabis Industry Association.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you. I've invited Morgan to be on the show on a regular basis, and today we want to talk about two specific things in the regulatory environment. One, the recent legislation passed by the Illinois legislature enabling cannabis to be sold, And two, which Morgan said to me he was very interested in talking about, is what's going on in the Congress relative to the banking laws. So, Morgan, tell us what happened in Illinois.
Well, the Friday before last, Illinois became the 11th state to approve adult-use cannabis regulation, legalization, as well as to regulate the substance, somewhat similarly to alcohol. Basically, it makes 30 grams of raw cannabis and varying amounts of concentrated products or edibles legal for people 21 years of age or older to possess or purchase. It allows for home cultivation for registered medical patients only, not for all adults, but it does decriminalize limited home cultivation. So that's certainly a positive. But it's one thing that this bill does that really no other cannabis bill has done before at the state level is that it automatically expunges the criminal records for anyone who was arrested for amounts of cannabis that are now legal under the law, so anything under 30 grams. And that's somewhere around 800,000 convictions that are just going to be wiped from the books now, which will make it a lot easier for people to be able to get education, find employment and places of residency, and all the other things that are damaged by having a criminal record related to cannabis. The bill also allows for community reinvestment and takes a number of steps to ensure that the people most harmed by prohibition are able to have access to the industry and get in on the ground floor in Illinois. So overall, it's a very positive bill. And I think that really the most important thing, if you look at it from a national perspective, is that this is the first time that any state legislature has approved a cannabis regulation bill. Every other state that has done so has done it via the ballot initiative process, with the exception of Vermont, which only legalized possession and limited home cultivation. They didn't actually do any sort of regulatory work. So this is really a huge turning point, and I think it's going to allow a lot of other states to start approaching this issue within their own legislatures.
We're talking with Morgan Fox, the legislative liaison with the National Cannabis Industry Association, a regular contributor to this show. Morgan, if I could ask a follow-up question, everything I read when you and I talked earlier in the week, everything I read is they've used they used the word commercialization to describe this. And you indicated that it was the first time that it had ever been passed, with the exception of Maine. And do you think that states that have already approved it will go back to the legislature for enabling, or will they just stay where they are?
Most of the other states were able to install regulatory structures, either explicitly written out in the ballot initiatives or developed by either the state legislature or another regulatory body assigned under the ballot initiatives in order to develop their regulatory structure. Sometimes the legislature has actually kind of held this process up, as was the case in Maine, where voters approved the law in 2016, but the legislature has been dragging its feet when it comes to actually implementing regulated sales. I don't think that this is going to be the case in Illinois. In fact, it seems very likely that this program is going to hit the ground running. There's a lot of desire within leadership in the state to actually see that happen. I try to stay away from the term commercialization, but in general, I think that regulation is clearly better than having cannabis on the illicit market. So whatever word you want to choose to describe it, this is a net positive for Illinois as well as for its neighbors who will start to be able to see the benefits of having a regulated cannabis structure.
Yeah, I noticed in the articles that they're estimating that it'll produce about $2.5 billion in revenue. And this week, Colorado announced that they went over $1 billion in revenue in the last 12 months, which doubled what it was a little over 2 years ago. So let's move on to, we're talking with Morgan Fox here from the National Cannabis Industry Association. You want to talk about what's going on in Washington as it relates to banking reform. Take a moment, and for those who are listening who don't understand what the issue as far as banking and then why this legislation might be so significant.
Well, because cannabis is still a federally scheduled one substance, there are a lot of restrictions on whether or not banks and other financial institutions can be able to work with businesses that deal directly with cannabis, even if they're in complete compliance with state law, because they're still violating federal law. Now, it's possible for banks to do this, but it's extremely difficult for them to do so. It requires a lot of extra work that they don't have to do with other clients. And frankly, most banks are worried about the potential risk involved because they could be prosecuted under federal law for doing business with any cannabis businesses. And this creates a lot of problems, both for people in the industry, but also for state and federal regulators. So because of the fact that so few financial institutions are willing to work with cannabis businesses, the vast majority of the industry is stuck on a cash-only basis. Now, despite the fact that dispensaries actually improve public safety in their surrounding neighborhoods, having large amounts of cash on hand makes them themselves targets for crime. Not only that, but they are generally forced to pay their employees in cash, which then makes them even softer targets for criminals. They have to pay their taxes and various fees in cash, which then transfers those public safety risks onto whatever government agent or local body is taking in that cash. It also presents a lot of problems for traceability and accountability. So it means that regulators have to work much harder in order to be able to determine cash flow and be able to get data about the industry and about sales. Also makes it harder for law enforcement to be able to determine if businesses are really in compliance with state law. Another aspect of this is that because financial institutions don't want to work with the cannabis industry, it closes off an avenue of capital access to particularly small businesses and marginalized communities who don't have access to deep investor networks and traditionally are forced to get small business loans from banks, and those just aren't happening. So that's why we've been promoting the Safe Banking Act, which currently has 206 sponsors in the House and 30 sponsors in the Senate, and appears very likely to come up for a House vote sometime in the following weeks. This would basically make it much easier for financial institutions to be able to work with the cannabis industry without taking on a significant amount of risk or additional labor. It also protects ancillary businesses from any sort of punitive actions from various government bodies. So, you know, we're really excited about the momentum that this bill has so far. The Senate will be a little bit of a more of an uphill climb, but if we can convince Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader, to allow hearings on this bill, then we're pretty confident that that we would be successful. You know, if this gets a vote in the House, which it's expected to do so in the coming weeks, it's almost certain to pass.
Morgan, I noticed on the institutional website you post occasionally. How could people follow you?
Well, if you follow us on the web at thecannabisindustry.org, you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Super. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Morgan Fox from the National Cannabis Industry Association, a weekly contributor. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Dan Perkins, and I want to take a moment to give you a feel for who's coming up on America's Cannabis Conversation in the coming weeks. We will have lawyers from both the Federal Trade Commission and the Food and Drug Administration discussing actions that their two agencies are taking against CBD companies making unfounded or outlandish claims about the curative power of CBD. We'll also have the president of the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce discussing his plans about taking care of babies who are born with opioid addictions and why the opioid addiction is so high in the state of West Virginia. We'll also have the inventor of Jelly Bellies, who's in a new business making jelly beans that are infused with CBD oil. The head of the Cannabis Industry Association Public Policy Group will talk to us about the government regulation of cannabis and CBD products. And we'll be also talking with a woman entrepreneur who is making CBD products for upscale spas. So those are just some of the people that are going to be on America's Cannabis Conversation in the coming weeks. Be sure to join us at 4:20 every Saturday afternoon for our new show. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening. hope you enjoyed the conversation today and invite you to join us next week. By the way, you can go to our website and download previous shows. So go to the website, americascannabisconversation.com, download shows, and look who's going to be on next week. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for joining the conversation.